So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, there's a scripture. Paul writes this, wives, talking about husbands and wives, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Wow. This gets a little blown out or messed up sometimes and abused sometimes. But when we hear the word submit in our culture, we automatically are backpedaling. Like, I don't want to submit to nothing, right? We want to be independent. We don't want to submit to nothing. That's our culture. And when we hear, when many people hear it, a wife submitting to their husband, they think of a husband domineering them, or a wife being treated as a slave. Hey, Kim, I forgot my water. Will you bring it up? Well, go get me one. Right? You notice she's not going, right? She's not my slave. So that's kind of how things get blown out of proportion. That's how people abuse this passage sometimes. And sometimes I believe it's even taught that way at times. But what the scripture teaches, what this is actually teaching, we have to look at this in context. And to really understand it, we have to look back at what Paul's already been speaking about in Ephesians chapter 5. And he's been talking about a spirit-filled believer. That's the context. And if you're not a spirit-filled believer, you're not going to be able to do the things that he's talking about here. We need the Spirit. We need not only the Spirit indwelling us, we need the Spirit filling us, okay? And we'll get into that in a minute. But in Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, Paul says this, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalm and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So when we look at this, when we read this, Paul says, don't get drunk on the wine, right? We shouldn't, as believers, should not get drunk. We shouldn't be stoned, because what happens? We allow a substance to lead us, to change us. What happens when we drink, and what happens when we get high, when we smoke weed? It changes us. And we become a follower of that substance. Paul says, instead of doing that, believer, be controlled by something else. That something else is a he. His name is the Holy Spirit. He's God living within us. And we get him when we become believers. And there's a difference here. The Bible says when we become believers that we will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That happens at salvation. Immediately when we realize that we're sinners and we're hopeless of being forgiven of our sins, we're hopeless of having a relationship with God, we're hopeless of making it to heaven. When we realize that and we turn to Christ and we believe that he died on the cross, we believe that he rose from the dead, we will be saved. That's salvation. And when we do that, when that truly happens in our heart, we are indwelt with the Spirit. But Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. That's something different. Being filled happens when we surrender to what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. It is a surrender that should be happening daily in a believer's life. And how do we know what God wants us to do? We need to be in his word, because the Holy Spirit uses that to direct us. And he uses that to lead us, okay? But being filled with the Spirit means we allow God's word to convict us, right? The Holy Spirit, he has a lot of jobs, and he's going to convict us of our sin. When we read the scripture and we see what sin is, and then we are living that in our life, the Holy Spirit's going to say, hey, Gary, you need to change that. You'll be convicted. You will, and he will be leading you to change that. The Holy Spirit leads us in our walk with Christ. He leads us in the way that Christ wants us to go. And the Holy Spirit, when we live under his influence, he changes us. He changes us. Years ago, we taught on this in the student class, and Jason Combs, one of our pastors, I should say this, Pastor Jason Combs, because he definitely earned that respect, but he's our Waterford location pastor. He's also one of our elders, but he wrote this, he brought this up about a flamingo. He said, when baby flamingos are born, they're gray. I don't know if you know this, but adult flamingos are pink. Anybody remember Miami Vice? I have to tell this story real quick. So at the beginning, there's all these flamingos running and flying. And my cousin at the time, he was just a young kid, probably like 5 or 6 years old. He said, look at all them chickens, right? I've never seen a pink chicken. I don't know about you, but I had to share that. That came to my mind. But when baby flamingos are born, they're not pink, they're gray. And as they eat, their diet has pigments in it. I'm going to do my best to remember how to say this word. Carotenoids. They're in the things they eat. They eat blue and green algae, and they eat brine shrimp. And this carotenoids are in this food. And as it breaks down, their liver breaks it down, these carotenoids go into their feathers and they change colors. And that's what happens when we follow the leading of the Spirit. He changes our colors. He changes who we are. He changes the direction we go. That is what the Spirit's doing inside of us. And look, Paul's saying, he's not saying you should be filled with the Spirit, believer. He's saying be filled with the Spirit. This is a command. This is a command. This Holy Spirit we're talking about told Paul or convicted Paul to write this passage. God is telling us to be filled, to follow the Spirit's leading. And I know that probably can be convicting to some of us. It's not a suggestion. And when we are filled with the Spirit, God begins to change us. Everything we're going to talk about from this point on requires us to be a believer and to be filled in order for it to happen. The first thing Paul talks about in our passage is worship. He said in our passage we just read that we're addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. We worship God from our hearts. And when we worship him, the worship flows from our hearts into our speech and into our actions, right? Worship isn't just something we sing about. That is part of it, but it flows out into how we live our lives. And as we live, when we are filled with the Spirit, we will have gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord. That's what Paul says in our passage as well. He says, always giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live a life of gratitude. Even when things happen that we don't understand, which they do, we can still have gratitude because we know God's still in control. We know Jesus still died on the cross. And if we're believers, we know someday we're going to be with him for eternity. Praise God, right? And lastly, when we are full of the Spirit, we become submissive. Submissive. Submissive to Christ and submissive to each other. Verse 21, Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. When we're full of the Spirit, we submit to one another. And we submit to Christ out of reverence for Christ. Submission begins with Jesus. And and we're able to do it because we're filled with the Spirit. When we live we follow the Spirit's leading, we're filled with the Spirit. That's where the submission comes from. Paul ever talks about wives and husbands, and he says, we all submit to Christ in one way or another out of reverence for Jesus. And out of reverence for Christ, we all submit to something. We do. Romans 13, Paul, the same writer of this, says that we are to submit to government authorities. God's placed the government, and he's put the people in office that are there, and we are to submit to the rule, unless they're going against what the scripture tells us. And in this same passage, Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says that slaves are supposed to submit to their masters. In our culture, I think of our workplace, right? Our boss says, hey, Gary, I want you to run out and patch this pothole. I worked at the road commission, sorry. And I can say, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Or I could submit, and I, not as a slave, but I submit to his authority, and I go out and I do that. Okay? So Jesus submitted to his parents. Jesus, I'm talking about his earthly parents, he also submitted to the heavenly Father as well. And this week, I hate to tell you this, because I told you a few minutes ago that bad things happen sometimes. Have you guys ever seen my pretty red truck? It's not so pretty anymore. This week I got in an accident. And it's probably going to get totaled. I hope not, but it probably is. But what I've learned in this whole situation is that I'm not in control, right? The insurance company is in control. I have no say in what I'm going to do here, right? God is ultimately in control, but I have no control, and I have to be submissive. I could get angry. I could blow a gasket because I'm like, what is going on? But I have to tell myself, God's in control, and no matter what happens, I got brand new tires on there. I might not get them back. They're 2 weeks old. But no matter if I don't get them back, guess what? God's still in control, right? And I have to be submissive. A Spirit-filled Christian has an attitude of humility and devotion towards Jesus. And that's what I need to have this week, or that's what I've really had to focus on this week. But Spirit-filled people are reverent towards Christ, and they submit to one another. And this is the foundation of the family. When we submit to Christ, and we humbly submit to one another, that is the foundation of our family. That's what the way God set things up. Let's go back to our original passage, Ephesians 5:22. Paul says that we all submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he says, wives, submit to your husbands, to your own husbands, as to the Lord. What does submission mean? It means that we voluntarily yield authority and guidance to someone else. It's actually, in the Greek, it's a military term. So when you are in the military and you have a drill sergeant, you have to voluntarily submit to him, or you are going to do a lot of push-ups, right? It is a voluntary submit, or submission is voluntary, and we put, the wives are to put themselves under their husband voluntarily, submit to them, because God has placed the husband in the role of leadership in the family. And that may seem hard. And it may seem like the wives may feel like they're inferior. But that's not the point here. We all submit to something. This is just God's order. And inferiority is not what God is going for here. The wife, she has just as much to say and as much brains as the husband does. Honestly, if we're talking about my relationship with my wife, she has more, right? So I depend on her a lot of times. She's always saying, yeah, you probably shouldn't have said this. You probably should do this. And I'm like, you are right. That's why I gave you the last name right, right? No, that's something else. Right. But God has established roles in the families, right? Wives are to submit to their husbands. And we're going to talk about these other things too as we go through this. Husbands are to love their wives. And children, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're to obey your parents, right? That's what it says here. And I really want to tell you this too before we move on. I want you to notice that Paul says, when he's talking about the wives, to submit to their husbands. But when he's talking about children or in the workplace, he says obey. Those are two different words, okay? Submission does require some sort of obeying, but the wife is supposed to be a partner. She's not supposed to be under the dominion, or the husband's not supposed to dominate the relationship. That's not what Paul's saying here. The husband actually needs to be in submission as well, submission to Christ, and we're going to talk about that more. But these roles, it does not mean that the husband has greater value. When it comes to Christ, we're all the same. Galatians 3:28 says, speaking of believers, that sometimes this passage of scripture will get blown out of proportion, out of whack too. But Paul's talking about believers. He's saying there is neither Jew nor Greek, Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ. He's saying it doesn't matter if you're a male or female, Jew or Greek, slave or free. If you're in Christ, you have the same value as everyone. If you're in Christ, you belong to him and you have the same value. Wives, you have the same value in Christ that your husband does. So Paul's not, he's not, or the Holy Spirit's not telling us to, that the wife is inferior. In Christ, we're all equal. We're all of equal worth. So what does submission mean? And I thought, where's a good scripture to really explain submission? And I kept coming back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Paul writes, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest or her own interests, but also to the interests of others. So submitting is choosing, it's a choice to do good for someone else over what you want to do for yourself. It's putting the other person first. It's choosing the other person. I mean, I think of Matthew when Paul or Jesus is asked, what's the two greatest commandments? He says, love God and love people. Treat them as you want to be treated. Treat them as yourself. And actually that has the When you study that, that really means that you put people above yourselves. That is being submissive, and it's voluntary, right? Are we naturally going to do that? I don't know about you, but I'm not, right? I'm all going to be looking out for number one if I'm looking at it from the human perspective. But when I'm filled with the Spirit, guess what? I can do that. I can choose my friends or my family or even my enemies over myself. That is submitting. It's a voluntary choice to put someone else first. A Spirit-filled wife chooses to do this with her husband. She honors her husband. She respects his God-given role as the leader. And she seeks his good and supports his leadership. This should be a two-way street. The husband should do some of these things as well. But we're going to talk more about you, the husbands, next week. So, marriage, so this submission mirrors what Christ is to the church. So in the scripture, Jesus is always known as the bride. And believers, the church, us, right? The church is not this building. It's us who have put our faith in Jesus. We're considered his bride. And what do we do when we're believers? What should we do? We should be submitted to Christ. We should be working to share the gospel. We should be doing the Great Commission. We should be submitted to his will. And that is his will for us. But Ephesians 5, 3 and 4, Paul writes about this. He says, for husbands, so we talked about wives should be submitted, and then he says, for husband, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. His body, right, let me read that again. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, the body, right? The church is also called the body of Christ, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. So Christ's leadership in the church is modeled in marriage, or it should be if we're believers and we're filled with the Spirit. And Jesus, if Jesus is our example to follow, does Jesus rule like a tyrant? Is he a slave driver? Or does he lead in love and servanthood? He leads in servanthood, and he taught this to us and his 12 disciples. In John 13, Jesus does something that blew his disciples' minds. He washed their nasty feet, right? The God of the universe washed their nasty feet. It says this, starting in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hand and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from the supper table. He laid aside his outer garment and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. They wore sandals or went barefoot everywhere they went. Their feet were nasty, right? And it was a slave's job or a servant's job to wash the disciple or to wash the guest's feet. Jesus took the role of a slave here. He is the God of the universe, and he washed the feet of his disciples. His people that were learning from him. He's modeling what it looks like to be a leader. Christ is our Savior. He's a servant and he's a sacrificial leader. And listen, that's what he's telling us to be as well. We're to put others first. We're to sacrifice. We're to wash the feet of people, if you will. Matter of fact, he tells his disciples this in John 13, 14. He says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. That's submission. The Lord Jesus chose to submit himself and do this. The husband is the leader, but he does this in love. And he's a servant, should be a, as a spirit-filled man. He should be a servant leader. Jesus, his example is this. Jesus is also the protector of the church, the scripture says. He's the savior of the church. He promises to never leave believers or forsake us. That's in scripture. He promises to be with us to the end of the age. That's in the Great Commission. And he laid his life down for us, church. He is our servant leader. And he's our example to follow. That's the husband's role. Not to be a slave driver. Not to be domineering. But to lead in sacrificial love for your family. For your wife and your children. A husband should follow Jesus' advice, or his responsibilities are these, if he's going to lead a sacrificial love. Provide for his family physically, that means work, provide for the things they need, and he's also to provide for them spiritually. Husbands, listen to me. It's our responsibility from God to be the spiritual leader in our families. That is a big point. It is also the husband's job to protect his family. Protect them spiritually and physically. We need to protect our children from the garbage they're being taught in the world and point them to the truth of Christ. We need to be pointing them to this. We need to be showing them how to live a spirit-filled life. That's our job. The husband is supposed to serve his family, take care of them. And part of that is maybe having nightly devotions or devotions regularly with your family. And look, Jesus laid his life down for us. A husband needs to be willing to lay his life down for his family. And I want to tell you this, that sometimes laying your life down doesn't mean death. We need to lay our life down. We need to put aside our wants and needs for the betterment of our family. Lay it down. That's the husband's role. The husband is the head of the family. Christ is the head of the church, and both things look similar. But in Colossians 1:18, it says that he, speaking of Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Jesus is the main person in the church. He is the head. Preeminent means first place. And he is the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one to be resurrected. And praise God, when we put our faith in him, we're going to follow that. We're going to be resurrected and spend eternity with him as well. But just as the church lovingly submits to Christ, a wife lovingly submits to her husband's God-given leadership. And it's been like this from the beginning. And in Genesis 2:18, God created Adam. He was alone. And in 2:18 it says, then God said, it is not good for man that man should be alone. I will make him a what? Helper fit for him. Ladies, Wives, it's your job to be the husband's helper, his partner. Compliment him. He should compliment you as well. But helper doesn't mean inferiority. What's the Holy Spirit called? The helper, right? It's not a job that's less important than the husband's. When we serve here at the church, we have people, we have a pastor, we have people working in guest services, we have people working in tech, there's people down here teaching. Who's the most important? None of us. We're even. There's one leader, and his name is Jesus. The rest of us are serving him in the calling that we've had. Not ready yet. Sorry. But a wife is to be a partner, a strength, a gift. Submission does not mean that the wife is silent and she just does everything the husband says. No, she has a voice. Look, when my wife and I make decisions, we never do it alone. I have the final say if it comes to that. But 90% of the time, what am I doing? I'm saying, Kim, what do you think? Always. I'm never doing nothing on my own. I want to know her thoughts. Why? Because she's brilliant and she's made in the image of God too. I want her to be my partner. I want her to compliment me. And submission doesn't mean that she lacks intelligence or that she's weaker mentally. God did make men physically stronger, but mentally we're the same, right? And God did that for this role, I believe. To submit to your husband as a helper, the wife is to be just like the church does with Christ, in loving submission and unity. Spirit-filled marriages are not a dictatorship, they're a partnership. But I have to tell you this because I've experienced this in my life. I have to share this. What happens when the leadership, when your husband fails in his leadership role? Do you, as a wife, take his position? Or do you allow him to lead you into sin? The Bible says that, first of all, if your husband makes bad decisions, are we to tear him down? Are we to say, I told you so? Or are we to undermine him as wives? And when we have poor leadership by our men, wives, it's easy to do that. But that's not our call. Our call is this: to love, support, and pray for him and build him up. Encourage him to be the man of God he's supposed to be, right? I have to share the scripture. I looked up a scripture right before I came up here. 1 Peter writes about this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. I don't have this on the screen. It says, wives, be subject to your husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Wives, we're supposed to still live in submission because we are going to be a witness and we're going to cause him to feel convicted by the Spirit. We still submit. When my mom and dad were younger, and they were raising us, my mom was a Christian. She was very faithful in the church. It was actually this church, believe it or not. It wasn't the river, but it was Bethany. She was very faithful. She had to take the spiritual role for the family. She took us to church. She taught us the scripture. My dad had no part of that. My dad was a great provider. He protected us physically, but spiritually, no. My dad was kind of wild in part of his life. But my mom never let him lead her into the sin with him. He tried to do that, but she wouldn't, because her first person that she served was Christ. Ladies, we have to stand strong in this. We have to stand strong. We have to serve the Lord first. We can't let our husbands pull us into sin. We can't take over the role of our husbands when he's failing at his job. My mom never did that. I mean, I'm not going to tell you there wasn't some arguments sometimes. And I'm not going to tell you she was perfect. But she always honored my dad in his God-given role, even when he wasn't fulfilling that role. If we let our husbands lead us into sin, or if we take the role out of his rebellion, we are outside of God's design, and that is sin. We need to do what 1 Peter did, talks about, and be the example for our husbands, because that is where the Holy Spirit's going to work. Okay, Joel, if you want to come up. Sorry about that. I forgot to tell him when to come up. So here's what I want to tell you as we close out, and this is going to be really quick. A Spirit-filled marriage is built on Christ-centered submission. That is the foundation of the family. And we need to submit to the roles that God has given each of us. If we don't, we're outside of God's plan. And we're to lead men, we're supposed to lead with a servant's heart. And we're supposed to, ladies and men, love in unity and in respect to one another, recognizing that we each play an important role in the marriage and the foundation of the church. And all of this is only possible if we are Spirit-filled. When both husband and wives walk in the Spirit, it is beautiful. We have a beautiful family. Is it going to be perfect and there's never going to be problems? There's going to be. Especially if you have kids, right? Walk in the Spirit. Trust the Lord. And follow the roles that he's given us. And it will be